Hello, and welcome to the Pandemic Pastoral Podcast Season 2, The Coronavirus Strikes Back. I am Alex, and as always, I am joined by my friend, my brother, my partner in crime, Rob. How are you doing, Rob?
I am okay, Alex. I'm a little bit sleepy today, but if that's the worst of my problems, then I'm doing pretty good.
Sleepy is not too bad. I mean, we're all winding down. It's the end of the year. I mean, 2020 has been a fine year, right? It's been a normal year. Nothing
crazy.
It's been
crazy. Fabulous. It's been fabulous.
Just chilled. So I think sleepy is an okay emotion to have at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I'm feeling pretty festive at the moment as well. So we've got the Christmas music's been on all day, and it all feels kind of like, you know, this nice little winter wonderland setup that I've got going on in my home office, etc. So yeah, it kind of lulls you into this kind of chilled out space where actually you get sleepy.
And now, obviously, this is a podcast, but if any listener could see, they would see dear Rob is wearing a very funky Star Wars Christmas jumper.
Oh yeah, it's funky. It's Star Wars. It's Christmassy.
Which Star Wars character would you be?
Oh, crumbs. That's not a question I was anticipating there, Alex. Which Star Wars character? I wouldn't want to be this character, but in all honesty, I'm probably more like C-3PO. I mean, he basically spends a lot of time worrying about stuff he doesn't need to worry about, which sounds a little bit like my natural default position.
I have always thought of you as someone who has a great deal of protocol. You know,
protocols. Yeah, I've got protocols. Yeah. I've got so many protocols, Alex. I mean, wow.
And you can speak like a million intergalactic languages. So I think you and C-3PO really do have a lot in common.
It makes sense. Which Star Wars character would you be then?
Wow. I always wish, I dream that I would be someone super cool, like, you know, Han Solo. But I probably just end up being like, you know, one of the poor stormtroopers who get shot, you know, in the first scene. So
that's a bit depressing, Alex. You got to aim higher than that. You can do it, man. You can do it. I believe in you.
I'm not sure if you've watched The Mandalorian, but I think with that, you know, who wouldn't want to be the Mandalorian either? You know, like the cool, you know, quiet cowboy who doesn't say much but just gets a lot done.
I wish, dude. I wish I was the Mandalorian, but no. That's just not me.
So the reason I had that question is because I had to do this icebreaker thing earlier where everyone was asked all these questions that were good icebreaker questions. And one of them, which was quite interesting, was if people had to look for you in a bookshop, in which section would they find you?
Dude, you have some pretty weird sources of like icebreakers, you know. I usually use like some kind of icebreaker to get people to say some weird derivative of their name or something. And you're like, if you were a book, where would
No, not if you were a book.
If I was just in a section.
If I told someone, go find Rob in that bookshop, in which section of the bookshop would I tell them to look for you?
Oh, that's tricky. Biographies or fantasy, I guess.
Well, there we go. You see, that wasn't so hard.
Yeah. Well, is that true? Actually, yeah, I'm not sure. There's, I mean, biographies, I would say more likely. Fantasy, it's only like small portions of the genre that I'm really into. So let's go with biographies.
You could have gone for a very righteous answer. You could have gone for, I would obviously be in the religion section. I would be, you know, browsing my NIVs or my, you know,
well, ESPs of course, I meant the biography of St. Paul.
There we go. That is the correct answer. Now, your Christmas jumper is a lovely timely reminder of the fact that Christmas is but, 2 weeks away? A week away.
It's less than that, yeah. Less than 10 days now.
And every day it seems like the rules are changing about where we can all be on Christmas Day. And I think today it seems like they're still going, no, it's fine, you know, two families or three families can get together. But it could very well be that changes in the next couple of days. But even with that, it does mean, I think, that a lot of people over Christmas will be in a position where they won't be near people, they won't be near loved ones or friends. And this time of the year is a tough time to be lonely and feeling, you know, that feeling of loneliness that comes both physically from the people in your life, but also spiritually, emotionally, spiritually, where, you know, we've all had those moments where you sit there in the dark, or you sit there in your car, or, and you think, you know, why do I feel far away from God? Why is that happening? I think that's something that, you know, everyone can relate to, right?
Yeah, and I think historically Christians have probably called that what's called a dark night of the soul. I think it was a book that was written somewhere around probably about the 16th century or something by somebody called Saint John of the Cross. And he talks about that feeling of feeling distant from God, even if you are a believer. Because I suppose you don't really feel distant from God if you're not a believer. You don't think he's there, so you don't feel particularly distant. But you're right, you know, a lot of people struggle with that sense of loneliness, and especially when they believe in God, but they don't feel his presence in their life, maybe because of the circumstances that they're going through, maybe just because they're having a dry patch spiritually. Yeah, people can certainly relate to that. I can relate to that. I mean, it happens to church ministers too, from time to time. So I think it's normal. I think, you know, a relationship with God is something that has to be nurtured constantly. And it's a bit more difficult in some ways than human relationships, because obviously we can't just pop over and see somebody physically. It's harder to see where God is at work because he's much more mysterious. So, yeah, I think people can relate to that. And I think people can relate to loneliness in general. I mean, this is obviously a time where that's really exacerbated. You know, Christmas, whenever you are separated from people that you love, is very, very tough. But this year, with the pandemic and lockdowns and all kinds of things going on all over the world, a lot of people are going to be separated from family. But, you know, even if that wasn't the case, there'd still be a lot of lonely people in our society. You know, a lot of people who've lost loved ones. A lot of people who also have kind of pushed people away over the years and then are living, I suppose, with the regret of that. You know, there's a lot of sadness that comes around this time of year because of broken relationships and broken families and arguments or feuds that kind of have continued for years, and nobody wants to back down, and yet everybody's feeling lonely. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird mix. But, I think when we talk about loneliness, whoever you are and wherever you're listening from, you can probably relate to that from time to time. But I just wonder how conscious we are of how many people struggle with it as a really sort of ongoing problem, and particularly now that it's Christmas time.
I remember reading after Mother Teresa had passed away, she'd left behind letters and diaries. And I remember reading after they'd been published, how many of her diary entries were connected to the loneliness she felt, the disconnectedness that she felt from God. And, you know, it's Mother Teresa. It's not, you know, it's like the Pope. It's somebody so, you know, so holy in a way, so alive and so holy, who you would put very much at the top of the connected with God chart. You know, here I am, you know, Alex in Andover, you know, near the bottom at times. And I'd think, well, it's me, it's Alex in Andover, you know, I don't have a hotline. But definitely Mother Teresa and the Pope, those guys should be like, you know, if they ever feel lonely, it's like, you know, Zoom call immediately and there you are. And yet she would talk about these long days and these long nights and this real emptiness where she couldn't find God and she couldn't connect with God, which I guess I wonder why she didn't say that when she was alive. I wonder why ministers and pastors and why people with that that leadership role, why they aren't more honest about those times. Why do you think that is?
I think, yeah, it's a good question, actually. I think sometimes the shepherds are the ones that need looking after as well, but they don't necessarily always realize it, because they're so used to looking after everyone else that they don't take the best care of themselves. It can be that. It can be flat out denial or a mask that you wear in order to try and kind of remain a professional, because you want to be there for other people. You don't want your congregation to start thinking you're falling apart. You know, there's all kinds of reasons people tell themselves for not, you know, not being honest about how they're really doing. But actually, in my experience over the years, it's so much more healthy, both for your sake and for the sake of your congregation, for you to be more honest and to be able to share with them the fact that you're just a regular human being like they are. You experience the same kind of emotions, the same kind of issues. And, you know, there's something in that. There's something in the shared experience that makes us able to help one another and enables us to really relate very well to people. You can't really understand depression unless you've personally experienced it to some extent. You can't really understand like clinical sort of anxiety unless you've experienced it. You can't understand bereavement unless you've experienced it. And yet somehow we get this strange idea that, you know, I suppose as anybody in a spiritual leadership position can do, of thinking that we're, you know, supposed to appear to be, I don't know, on a different plane to people. And that's just absurdly wrong.
Do you think that generally showing any kind of weakness is inherently that's what drives that need for a front that shows that all is well, and you know, you come to me with your problems, but I don't have any problems myself?
I think it depends. I mean, I think different ministers would hide it for different reasons. I mean, I'm certain that would be the case for some, that there's a fear of, you know, appearing weak and therefore not being up for the job and then losing your job or something like that. Or there's the fear that people will not listen to you kind of teaching, you know, from the Bible or whatever, if you appear to be somebody whose life isn't in order, et cetera, et cetera. Again, people tell themselves different stories in their head. For some people, I don't think it's that. I think for some people, it's actually just a hyper concern for other people and for their well-being, that I suppose causes you to kind of put that stuff to the back of your mind while you're in the room with someone else or on a call with someone else, to try and be there and kind of see how they're feeling, how they're doing, and do what you're called to do as a pastor, which is to care for other people. But it's only, you know, it's knowing your limit with that. How much can you sustain before actually you need to be talking to somebody yourself and just getting some stuff off your chest? And I think, you know, anybody who's in any form of public service that requires them to kind of connect with people who are going through a tough time, who maybe are facing traumatic circumstances, I think it's important that they are aware that they're just as fragile as anyone else in terms of mental health. And they need to really look out for that. They need to take care of that, because you can't not be affected by the same world that affects everybody else. So. It's a bit of a fallacy, I think, that people sometimes put ministers on a pedestal and kind of think that they live in a different realm, but they don't. They live in the same realm. In fact, they kind of live in the realm of all of the people of their congregation too, because they're always hearing the stories of what's going on in their lives, and they hear a lot of the difficulties. You know, they hear stuff that maybe other people don't know about, and if you're not careful, that can keep you up at night.
It just compounds their sense of loneliness, like with Mother Teresa, where there's no one reaching out to them, because the assumption is, well, look at them, they have it all sorted, you know, they're so holy, you know, they're fine. And of course they're flesh and blood, and you know, filled with the same fears and anxieties and all those things, and they need the same encouragement, they need the same support. Yeah, I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head there, that I think over time, as ministers, as anyone in leadership, becomes more aware of the support that they need, that they can't just do it all alone. I think the people who are in the congregation and who follow have also started to appreciate, I mean, I've seen this in my lifetime, appreciate that the minister isn't, you know, this, you know, angelic figure that is all, you know, all powerful and just keeps on going, you know, like a Duracell Benny, and that they need support, they need encouragement, they need time off to reflect and to be sustained and to come back refreshed. Otherwise, you know, spiritual burnout is a thing. I guess an encouragement for this season is that nobody is immune to loneliness. Nobody is immune to that sense of feeling, you know, isolated or disconnected from God. You know,
And from other people. I mean, I think, this is a really weird period of time where not only might you be separated from close family and friends at Christmas, but you're actually separated from almost everybody. Everybody who's in your life, every single network that is a regular part of your life. Some people, I suppose, get through the whole Christmas period by the fact that they were still part of a team at work, or still kind of part of a sports team, or, still were able to go down to the pub and meet some of their friends. And of course, all of those things are kind of up and down at the moment. Sometimes you can have some access to people, sometimes you can't. Depends on where you live, depends on how the pandemic is going in your area and what the R number is and all of these wonderful technical things. But the reality is that, it's a time where people are separated a lot more from a lot more people than they've ever been separated from before, probably. And that's going to have an effect on people. I mean, particularly people that are outgoing, that have that kind of extroverted kind of character type. If you're an introvert, this is probably a really nice time to be alive. You can kind of be like just sit in your cave and everything is okay. But if you're an extrovert, this is really tough. You're gonna get lonely. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. If you are the guy that loves to be in big crowds, loves to kind of enjoy the vibe of a lot of people in the room, this is not a great Christmas for you. And it's important that we recognize that. And I think that we just kind of take steps to reach out when we can and how we can. Because, like you and I are talking right now, we're using technology, we're trying to get around it. And, a lot of people are kind of, not that comfortable, I suppose, talking over, a video conferencing solution or something like that. They might think to themselves, it's not the same. And it's not the same, but I can assure you it's better than nothing. It's a lot better than nothing.
Yeah, it's what we have,
Yeah.
this is what we have, so this is what we have to make work.
And we've got to take it seriously, because if you don't reach out when you really need to be having those conversations, when you really just need people around you, that's going to get you into a whole bunch of trouble. There was a time a little while ago where we were at our church, we were talking about the importance of community. And our senior minister, Chris Porter, said something along the lines of, sometimes the most lonely and isolated people are the people on the edge of the community who are shouting for everybody to come to them. And actually, the answer is simply for them to take a few steps forward, because people are waiting to help them, but they don't even know, because shouting from a distance doesn't help. They still can't hear you.
I think I said it on the last podcast, but a really good idea is the idea of the Advent like contact list. So every day you contact a different person and a family member, a friend, so that you're making sure that for the kind of 25 days, make it a whole month, make it all 31 days of December, every day you contact somebody, you connect with them, they know that they've connected, and you know that you've connected. If everyone did it, that would be brilliant. But if it's just you, at least somebody, it's a friend, it's somebody hearing from you, and just in the middle of all this chaos, you've made the effort to talk to them, connect with them, and find out how they're doing.
I think it's a really, really good idea. I think it's so important that we remind people, as much as we need help, just making that call, being brave enough to make that call when you feel like you need some connection, remind somebody else that you're thinking of them. And it's a double win. You're doing something great for someone else and for yourself. So I think that's absolutely fantastic advice. And the only other group, I suppose, that is very much on my mind is people who genuinely don't have family or friends around them. They might be very, very isolated. And to them, I would say, hey, do not be afraid to call someone like the Samaritans. They have a 24-hour helpline who just are literally there just waiting for you to call so that you can have a chat. What have you got to lose? Give them a call, and you never know what kind of wonderful conversation you might end up having.
Amen. And as always, we are here. Our soothing voices are on the podcast if you ever need some company. But thank you once again for listening. And do join us again next week. I don't know what our topic is going to be, but it'll be interesting, no doubt.
It's going to be a Christmas surprise, Alex. We
Woohoo!
won't tell you until next week. You'll just discover it, and it'll be glorious. It'll be like a present under the tree.
I am looking forward to it. So please join us then. And thank you again for listening.
Merry Christmas.